Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm sorry. How are we doing?
Great.
I don't know about you, I like this setup. Because I can come here and touch you. You got no place to hide now. I don't know if you noticed, we made the aisles big enough. I can come in here. If you're trying to fall asleep, and wake you up. Okay, I like this. You know, that's the only disadvantage in that auditorium. I'm always on that stage, and you can't come out and reach out and touch somebody. Okay? Today I'm going to touch you. Make sure you're awake. How are we doing?
Good.
Amen. It's good to see everyone. And thank God that we could be here. We're going to be back here next week. Now that you know where this place is. Hopefully next week you won't get lost. Amen. And it's going to be a good time. I got a confession to make. I like to fight. Okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And you need to learn to fight. I think a lot of times when we think of that word, we're thinking about physical brawling. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible talks a lot about you and I need to fight for our faith. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, the way I planned this is very different from what we're going to do this morning. Because I got an email a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, they're busy walking on the stage. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be here. And what I planned as I was studying out this stuff was I was going to come in onto the stage with a robe and boxing gloves. And I had the music from Rocky. And I was going to come out. Say, okay, now we're going. Oh, we're going, baby. But the Lord said, you know, we're not going to do that today. That's okay. But that's what I'd planned. I'm just telling you what I'd planned. But before I get into my lesson, we've all heard that our sister Sarah Hartline passed on a couple of days ago. The visitation is going to be tomorrow at the Wages and Son Funeral Home from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wages and Son Funeral Home on Lawrenceville Highway. And the funeral is going to be on Tuesday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon at the same location. Wages and Son Funeral Home on Lawrenceville Highway. I know a lot of us will be there to be able to encourage the family and bid our sister farewell. Amen? I've also been asked to ask all of us mothers that we're going to start taking pictures for the Mother's Day after church in the back there somewhere to my left. And so just grab your kids, and Andreas is going to be back there, and they're going to start taking the pictures this afternoon. But I'm also very excited to announce that this afternoon at 2 p.m., Caroline Sturr is going to be getting baptized. Where are you? You're not shy. You sat down too quickly. I need you to stand back up. We need to see you. So the baptism is going to be taking place this afternoon at the Beckers residence at 2 p.m. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning we're talking about fight the good fight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning verse 24, it says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the same, were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 men died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Yeah. Amen? I love this passage. Like a lot of the passages in the Bible. There is so much in here. And it reminds us that, you know what, everything that was written down was written for our benefit.
Right.
Are you with me? And it talks about how, in the beginning, it says, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Paul writes, run in such a way as to get the prize. You know, the Olympics are coming up in a few months in England. And athletes are going to gather in London from all over the world. These men and women have been training for 4 years for what's going to be taking place this summer. And something is going to happen, obviously. In each discipline, in each race, in each competition, somebody or one team will get the gold medal, another one will get the silver, and another one will get the bronze. And that's it. They hand out only three. They do not hand out medals for you participating. When I was growing up, and, you know, we'll be out there playing, I was in a soccer league. What you guys, well, actually, you guys call it soccer. We call it football. Okay? Again, the auditorium changed everything I was going to do today because I was actually going to bring a soccer ball, what you guys call a soccer ball, and a pigskin as an illustration. Now, when you play soccer, when I'm playing soccer, I'm doing this. Boom. I'm juggling the ball. The ball is, I'm using my feet. Okay? That's why they call it football. I'm using my foot. Okay? Now, lo and behold, I come to America, and they're doing this, and they're calling it football. That doesn't make sense to me. Because this is not your foot. This is your hand. But anyway, that's a different day, different sermon. But you see, they don't have our trophies for you just participating. Even today in a lot of leagues, you will see, you know, they give all the kids medals. I think we need to think about that. Because then there's no incentive to really want to come out on top and give something your best. Oh, let's all give them medals. We don't want to discourage the little Johnnies. Hey, little Johnny didn't come in first. He doesn't need to get a medal. Are you with me? I mean, look at these trophies over here. I'm sure, you know, I haven't looked at them. You know, they got this stuff from participating in different things. This is second place. Runner-up, that's second place. Let's see. Yeah, first place. You know, you don't hand out, they don't give you a trophy because you just participated. Are you with me? But it's talking about the Christian race here. It's talking about the kind of attitude we need to have as we live this life. Are you with me? He says you got to run in such a way. You got to participate in such a way as to get the prize. And what is our prize? Our prize is one day to be able to be with God in heaven forever. To be able to see the face of God. To be able to spend eternity in a place where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Are you listening to me? That's what we're walking towards. But the question is, are you fighting every day? Are you in strict training? We get only one chance at this thing. The Olympics is every 4 years. You know, Michael Phelps right now, he's the reigning champion in a lot of disciplines in swimming. He's going in there trying to defend his title. There are guys saying, you know what? I want to beat him. He's the champion. I want to take that gold medal from him. Let me tell you something. He's not just going to hand it to them. He's fighting to retain his title. Are you listening to me? The same thing they do in boxing. These guys fight. They fight and they train to retain their title. Because somebody is trying to take it from you. You see, in our case, guess what? We got an incredible prize. And that's our relationship with God, amen? And guess what? Every single day, the devil is trying to take it from you. You know, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning verse 4, where it talks about the weapons we fight with and not the weapons of this world. Rather, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Are you with me? That's why it talks about in this passage that you and I cannot fight aimlessly. We cannot fight like a man beating the air. You know what? Some of these boxers, you see them, you know, they're training, they're using weights, they're using all kinds of stuff, they're running, they're jumping rope, and, you know, you see them, they're doing this, they call it shadow boxing, you know, they're doing this. Let me tell you something. Shadow boxing is easy. The question is, can you take a punch? Yeah. You can shadow box all you want. Until you get in the ring with somebody else, and they fake you, and they hit you once, then we're talking.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is not shadow boxing. Satan is right in front of you, on his toes, looking for an opening. If you bring your hands down, he's going to hit you. You know, I always thought in boxing, again, growing up, I didn't understand anything. You know, you see these guys, they're bouncing around the ring. They're bouncing around. I thought, oh, that's cool. Until I found out, you know what? The guy's just trying to catch his breath. You know, he's stalling. He's resting. That's why he's moving around. And I always wondered, why did you put your hands up here? Only to find out, you know, he puts his hands up because he doesn't want to get hit in the face. I thought it was just fancy, you know, it's cool to have your hands up here. You know? But they're doing this to protect their face. If you bring your hands up, they go, boom! You are going down. And I say this to say, you know what? The devil every day is stalking you. He's on his toes. You've even forgotten you're in a fight. Wow. You're just going around your business. Oh, let's just see what happens today. Wow. He's going to knock you out. Yep. We got to fight with an aim in mind. Amen? That's what it talks about. And then it brings up all these guys who have gone before us. Remember, these are God's children he's talking about. Yep. He's talking about the Israelites. How God brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and took him into the promised land. But it says, to me, one of the scariest verses is right here, where it talks about in verse 5, chapter 10, that God was not pleased with most of them. It doesn't say a few. We don't know how many, but it says most of them. To me, that's very sobering. A lot of them left Egypt, heading to the promised land, but during the journey, they started sinning. The same thing is true for us. We came out of slavery, sin. We are on our way to our promised land, which is heaven. The question is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with you? Because one day I promise you, somebody is going to receive a phone call. You will receive a phone call. Somebody will receive a phone call. In your case, that you are no longer on this earth, that you've passed on. sister called me up on Friday, I believe it was, and told me about Sarah's passing. I gasped. I couldn't believe it. I had to break the news to my family. Because she was very close to my wife and my girls. But you see, one day, somebody's going to make that phone call on your behalf. The question is, when we leave this place, where are we going? We can't play with our relationship with God. Because you've heard me say this so many times, that's all you and I have. That is the most important thing you and I may have. And that's the only thing we take from this life. Or God help us, a lack of it. All these things are in the Bible. It says, so that you and I do not repeat the same mistakes that they made. Some of them, they were involved in idolatry. Idolatry is anything that is more important than God. You got to be careful. Some of them were involved in sexual immorality. I mean, these are God's people.
Right.
You got to fight that temptation every day. Yeah. Brothers, not to lust, not to get on the internet. Right. Satan will stalk you every day.
Yeah.
You see a pretty girl walking towards you. You want to go by and take that second look. The temptation is always there. The question is that worth you not getting into heaven over? Are you listening to me, church? He said some of them were grumbling. And God was upset with them. And then he went out and just destroyed a bunch of them in one day. How do we do it? We grumble in our hearts. God, how come I don't have this? How come you haven't done this? How come you have not given me this? I'm a Christian. How come I'm suffering this way? You better watch out. I'm doing a study right now. It's very fascinating. I can't wait to start preaching about it. I will. I don't know. It's going to take me 2 or 3 weeks. Just the whole like concept of God saying no to our prayers. I know Gary preached about this months ago. I've been studying it out intensely. Because there are a lot of prayers that I'm praying that, quite frankly, the Lord hasn't answered me yet. And I'm like, Lord, what's up? It's been 15 years. Why would you do this for me? But it's been very fascinating. I'm getting ahead of myself. And I'm realizing that, you know what? For God to say yes to me, he has to say no to somebody else. Sometimes. I mean, that's amazing. But that'll come in a few weeks, God willing. But you see, we got to be very, very careful. And that's why it tells us here that be careful if you think you're standing firm, lest you fall. And then it talks about no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Sometimes we feel we're unique. Like, you know, we're going through this alone. Let me tell you something. Other people are struggling with the same thing. Other people have struggled with the same thing. You and I are not unique in what we go through. But we've got to make sure that we're trusting the Lord at all times. Amen? Now I've lost my place. I'll get it back. No, I'm talking of in my notes. Oh, here we are. As a result of what is at stake, we can't run aimlessly. This is serious business. But you see, the question is, when Satan comes tempting us, do we fall down? And if we do fall down, do we get up? Do we keep fighting? Amen? There's so many things that can derail our faith. When you and I start cruising, and our relationship with God becomes, yeah, I've read my Bible today, I've said my prayers, I give my money, I went to midweek, I went to church on Sunday, that's not it. I got news for you. The week is more important than the weekend. Now, Sunday morning, in my opinion, is still the highlight of the week, but believe me, The first 6 days is more important than the first one. We all gather on Sunday to worship God, praise God. But Christianity is not a Sunday thing. How is your walk with the Lord? What do you spend your time doing during the week? Is it watching CSI? Is it watching sports? Or are you drawing yourself closer to God and trying to bring other people closer to God? Are you with me, church? That's what this is all about. That is what it has always been about. And will continue to be about. But we got to fight the good fight. I'm not sure who was teaching. Was it last week or the week before? Whether it was Gary or Steve. And they brought this up. You see those phrases in Timothy. Talk about fight the good fight of faith. Right. Nobody said it would ever be easy. Right. Are you with me? Yeah. It's not going to be easy. You know, when was it? Was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. America had the largest lottery jackpot ever in history. You say, Richard, did you buy a ticket? Yes, I did. And I will tell you why. I did the math. I did everything. I'm not, if I had won, I'm not doing all this 20 years. Just give me the lump sum. Yeah. And I know what to do with the money. I ain't doing no 20-year stuff. But I was going to take the lump sum. The tithe alone was $46 million. Okay? That's not even my money. I can't even touch it. I looked at my wife. I said, do you realize, even after we give a tithe of $46 million to God's church, we are still going to have about $225 million left over. I said, Sarah, do you realize how much damage I can do with this kind of money? Hold on, guys. Hold on. Let me land. I'm going somewhere with this. Do you know how much damage I can do with $225 million all around the world, in all of our churches, with this kind of money? And all I started doing was, God, give me the wisdom to be able to even manage something like that. I said, one thing for sure, in our brotherhood, the idea of being broke, that you can forget that. Because if there's a need, we're going to go do something about it. Are you with me? People need to be paid full time to go preach the gospel all over this world. We got so much work to do. Are you with me? But what did God say to my prayer? He said, no. Okay? That's okay. That's not going to stop me from, when the jackpot gets high again, for me to go, keep praying and go buy my ticket again. You say, Richard, you know, isn't that gambling? Well, I'll tell you this. My father, your father, determines who wins that jackpot every single time. And all I'm asking is to give it to one of his children so that they will use it to glorify his name, as opposed to people going out and buying fancy stuff. Okay? That's the way I look at it. I've never been to Vegas. I've never been to, what do you call that place? Atlantic City. I don't gamble. But let me tell you something. When the jackpot goes high, I do buy me a ticket. You guys are looking at me funny. You do too. Okay? So don't even try. Okay? You bought a ticket? Okay? And so, I'm not saying, oh, you know, Mr. Richard said, go out and start gambling. That's not what I said. You're not going to put that on me. Okay? A Christian does not gamble. But a jackpot like that, you got to be in it to win it. It's like you praying, God, help me win the lottery. You got to go buy a ticket for God to answer you. Amen? And it's a dollar. How do I get into that? Well, let me get back to my lesson. There are many things that can derail us. Like I said, coasting. Worries can derail us. When we start worrying about life, we start worrying about how we're going to do this, how this is going to get accomplished. God knows what you need. Sin can derail us. When we willfully start sinning, and instead of changing and repenting, and getting back on the straight and narrow path, we deceive ourselves. A lack of focus can derail us. You know, it's always amazing to me in boxing, where these guys are—they're there, you know, 3 rounds each, 3 minutes of each round. They're going in there and they're looking for an opening. And if you lose focus one time, that's all that guy needs to be able to land that uppercut or that overhead right hand. And the next thing you're gonna know, they're gonna count you out. I mean, one of the matches I really enjoyed growing up, and I still remember it. It's called the Thriller in Manila.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali against George Foreman. George Foreman was at the prime of his career. He was a nasty guy. People couldn't take his punches. When George Foreman was at the height of his career, he had never gone past the sixth round because he would knock you out before then. But it's amazing to me, you know, everybody was saying how George Foreman was going to demolish Ali and kill him and all that. Ali had a plan. I'm just going to stay on the ropes. I'm going to keep moving around until he tires himself out. So he's going to tire himself out. At some point, he's going to get tired. And that's all he was doing. He was buying time. And Foreman hit him with everything he had. At some point during the fight, he's taunting him, putting his hands in his like, is that the bet you got? Come on, do it, keep doing it. And the man was something else. And then when Foreman started breathing heavy, now most of the people couldn't see it, but Ali could tell, okay, now it's my time. And it's amazing, you go back and watch that fight. All he did was, he stepped back for 1 second, and bam, 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 and that was it. He hit him a few times, and the man was on the ground. He tried to get up, he's like, forget it. And he got his title back. And all I'm saying is, you can't afford to coast. All Satan needs is a little opening. And he will take you out. And it's a very frightening thing. It really is. And that's why the Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This battle that you and I are in, this fight that you and I are in, is an individual one. Now, the thing, if we're not careful, is even as Satan knocks you down and takes you out, guess what? It also affects your spouse and it affects your family. You got to be very careful. So you may think, well, it's just me. No. Satan is trying to destroy your family. Satan is trying to destroy your kids. Now, he may be walking through you, but that's all it takes. Are you with me? And that's why we got to keep on fighting. 1 Corinthians 10 is basically telling us, guys, we've seen this movie before. You know what happened to the Israelites. Don't make the same mistake. Right now, the Final Four is going on. Actually, it's more than the Final Four. It's now down to the last two. I believe the game is tomorrow night. Kentucky against Louisville. Against Kansas. I'm rooting for Kentucky. They're from the SEC. Okay? We're in the SEC. You better be careful. We're gonna deport you. We're going to tell you, go back to where you came from. This is SEC land, baby. Okay? Your school may not be in it, but hey, Kentucky's in the SEC. And so I'm supporting them. Anyway. And they're going to win. There's no ifs or buts about it. You say, oh, Mr. Richard, I don't think so. Well, you and I can talk afterwards. Okay? If I win, you buy me lunch. If you lose, you buy me lunch. If I lose, you buy me lunch. You get the picture. But you see, what are these guys busy doing right now? They're busy preparing for tomorrow night's game. You better believe in the Kansas camp, they're watching tapes of Kentucky, trying to look for their weaknesses, trying to look for their tendencies, trying to counter what they do. And the other team is doing the same thing. And I bring that up to say, you know what, in a matter of speaking, believe it or not, Satan has been watching tape on you for a long time. He knows where your weaknesses are. He knows what's going on. And every single day when God wakes you up that morning, he's ready to do battle with you. The question is, are you ready to do battle with him? Are we ready? Look in 2 Timothy 4. I love this passage. This is Paul at the end of his life. He's already told Timothy to fight a good fight. You can write these references down in 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 to 20. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. But in 2 Timothy 4, here's Paul at the end of his life. As far as we know, this is the last letter he wrote to Timothy, and literally to the church before he died. In verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Look at what he says here. It says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Verse 8. "Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." And this is my favorite part. "Not only to me," Paul writes, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Who is that talking about? That's us. Amen? That if you and I fight a good fight, if you and I finish the race, if you and I keep the faith, we have in store for us, the Bible says, a crown of righteousness. I mean, I don't know about you. How do you even begin to describe that? A crown of righteousness. Oh, it sounds good. I know what a physical crown, I've seen pictures. I know what that looks like. A crown of righteousness that God is going to place on your head and on my head. That's exciting. But he's going to take everything you've got. It's a daily battle. You can't afford to rest. You can't afford to get tired. That's another thing that, you know, that can derail us. Fatigue. Life can be tiring. Life is work. But see, when you get tired, whatever it is you need to do to get yourself rejuvenated and relaxed, you need to do it very quickly and get back into the fight. You cannot stay tired. You cannot stay fatigued. Are you with me? I mean, there's a lot going on in the church. I'm looking forward to the summit in San Antonio. I've been praying about it. And a couple of days ago, I got a phone call from Mike Tolliver. And it goes, says, "I need your help." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" He says, "You've been seeing the numbers. It's exciting. You know, people are registering. As of Saturday, they had over 10,500 registered, and they've actually extended the deadline to tonight. So if you have not registered yet, you can still do so before the price goes up. But anyway," he goes, "this transportation thing is a lot more than we thought we could handle." I said, "Well, the reason I'm calling you is because, you know, back in 95 in Johannesburg, you know, you helped us with transportation, and I need your help." So, you know, I'm on the phone talking to him and trying to find out what's going on. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the ground already. They're working on this stuff. And he goes, "I need my Nigerian friend." This is the way he put it. "See, I need my Nigerian friend who's going to call up the bus company and go, 'Hey, where are my buses?' See, that's what I need." I said, "Okay." I said, "Let me talk to my elders. Let me talk to my wife. It's not going to change the time I leave here or come back. It simply means once we get there, instead of me sitting down, you know, going to classes and stuff, I'm going to have a job to do." So I said, "Let me talk to the elders." And I spoke to the elders. They were all very supportive. And Sarah said, "You know what, bro? You need to do it." So I called him back. And I said, "Bro, I'll help you out, you know, no problem. And I'll be there in a couple of weeks. We can start, you know, talking about stuff and actually go down to the ground and start mapping things out." Anyway, so I agree to help him out. And I just started feeling this sense of being overwhelmed. And I remember I went up to my bedroom, and I said, I need to pray. And I started praying, and I thought to myself, what did I just get myself into? Honestly, I'm being honest with you. I thought to myself, what did I just do? I said, Lord, I need your help. And I just started praying. And I sat down, I started writing stuff down. And it's amazing. The Holy Spirit reminded me, that's what, Glenn does on a daily basis. For a part of Gwinnett County. He coordinates all the school buses. And so I called him. I said, bro, I need your help. So he's, you know, he gave me ideas. I'm writing stuff down, everything. And afterwards, I felt a lot better. Yeah. And so I say that to say, be praying for the transportation during the summit. Okay? I mean, we're talking moving 10,000 people from the Gonzales to the AT&T Center and back for 4 days. Okay? That's a lot of people. Okay? But God is still God. But I share that to say, you know what? When we're called on as Christians to do stuff or to contribute in the kingdom of God, you got to do it. I mean, on this request, how could I have said no? I couldn't say no. I would not be able to sleep at night. Are you with me? When people come to you and ask for your help on something, they need your help. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't have boundaries and extend ourselves so thin that we're not effective. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about where somebody needs help, you need to avail yourself and draw your strength from God. Are you with me? That's what I am talking about. Because it's not easy. We got to make sure that we're always going back to God and getting ourselves replenished. Are you with me? It's tough. It's challenging. To take care of people and to give of yourself. We got to make sure that we're totally being replenished by God. And because of time, I'm not going to go into all this stuff. There's so many passages in the Old Testament where it talks about how, you know what? Don't be afraid. God will fight for you. That the battle is not yours, but God's. Are you with me? And so at those times, we got to make sure we rely on the Lord. Okay? You can go cross-reference all this stuff. It's all in the Old Testament. Just look up the word fight, and you'll see it. Or look up the word battle. He'll give you those passages I've just referenced. Are you with me? The battle is not yours. The battle is not mine. It's God's. But we got to make sure we keep on fighting. We're not talking about a physical brawl. We are in a spiritual brawl, whether we like it or not. The day you said, Jesus is Lord, you became Satan's enemy. Right. You joined the other camp. Yep. And it's been fighting ever since. And will continue to fight. Yeah. And then the exciting thing is, one of these days, God is going to say, you know what? Your fight is over. Yeah. And yes, the members of your family will miss you. Just like a lot of us are going to miss Sarah Hartline. She was a wonderful sister. Very hardworking, very giving, very serving. But one day, God is going to say, you know what? Your fight is over. Now come in and rest. Oh, like we just sang earlier on, it's going to be a happy day. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're going for. And so let's make sure that we continue to fight the good fight. God bless you all.
Okay, I have a quick announcement before I do closing prayer. If you're in the choir ministry, they want you to proceed immediately after service to the band room for a quick rehearsal. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the leadership in this church. I thank you so much for the care and, just the consideration and the time that the men in this church take to study your word so we can grow, Father God. And man, as I hear a word preached this morning, God, I can't help but think about Ephesians that talks about our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Father God. I pray so much you help us to stand on your word, God, because your son is the key. I thank you so much for everything that you are. I pray you hear our prayers. All this I ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.